As someone living with lung cancer, speaking up and being proactive during this cancer journey is absolutely critical.
Self-advocating can play a big role when dealing with lung cancer, but it doesn't need to be daunting. Try preparing questions you want to ask your doctor at your next appointment, confirming when you are unsure or have concerns, and asking about biomarker testing, which may help your doctor select an appropriate treatment.
I hope anyone who's diagnosed with lung cancer, whatever the stage, is willing to speak up, ask questions, assemble a support team, and fight.
Visit bit.ly/soundup for lung cancer for links to resources and to learn about SoundUp, a patient-inspired, community-led campaign supported by Novartis to empower people affected by lung cancer.
Jeep Freedom Days are here, where right now, well-qualified returning FCA lessees get a low-mileage lease on the 2022 Grand Cherokee WK Laredo E4x4 for $369 a month for 36 months with $3,799 due at signing. Tax, title, license extra. No security deposit required. Call 1-888-925-JEEP for details. Requires dealer contribution, a lease through Chrysler Capital. Lessee is responsible for termination fees. Current lease must end by 7/3/23. Extra charge for miles over 30,000. Residency restrictions apply. Take delivery by 7/5/22. Jeep is a registered trademark.
Welcome to Cannabis Hour. It is Javier Hase and Hola. Elliot Lane, your two humble hosts of the day, switching it up with Patrick and Tony. We will take the mantle of the A-team this week. Javi, how are you?
Doing great, honestly. I mean, as great as one can be, but it's a sunny day down here in Buenos Aires. It's spring. It's like 60-something degrees.
And you're giving us a nice Scarface impression with the open shirt. I'm obsessed. Well, thank you to all of our...
It's a chill joke about a chill product, you know?
Amen. Or one that will chill you out.
Forget the blue shirt for a bit. How are you doing?
Hey, there you go. I'm good. I'm excited for this show. You know, this is a market I've been excited about for a while. First off, thanks to all of the people who are sticking around from pre-market prep. Pumped to have you. You know, this is really going to be a show about a part of the cannabis space that isn't as big yet, but could potentially be one of the biggest aspects of it. And I'm super pumped. We have three leaders of the space here today with us, starting with Ryan Crane from Tempo Beverages. He's a super young entrepreneur. Very excited to talk with him. And then we're ending it with Warren Bobrow, who I'm sure most of you all know, who is Father Time himself. And I will come back to him for that comment and his reaction to it later on in the show. but I'm pumped, Javi. Yeah, I know you have a lot of thoughts on the beverage industry yourself in this space. I'd love to hear.
It's exciting. Here's the thing. I don't mean to diss any particular sector or any form of consumption, but this is my personal opinion, right? A cannabis consumer usually likes to smoke joints. It's what we've grown accustomed to. Now, a lot of us don't really like to smoke. We don't like the act of smoking. It creates a smell. It's sometimes uncomfortable. It's sometimes, you know, a little bit too much of a show off or a tell or whatever. And then for adults, it feels sometimes a little bit weird to be eating gummies, right? Or, you know, like just chocolate. Maybe at home it's fine, but say in a social setting, I meet with my friends, I'm 30, right? And go to a bar. It would be weird. We would, you know, just sit around a table, you know, eating gummies. Like it's something that just,
I don't know.
Just feels a little
I'm
bit.
I'm confident myself that I feel okay about it, but you know, I get that not everybody's the same here, but.
There's something about drinking that is very ingrained into our social interactions, right? Mm-hmm. We get together, absolutely, we have a beer, we have wine, you know, and that's kind of the experience we're used to and that many of us seek, right? And for me personally, I wish many times I could replace alcoholic beverages, right? Meet with friends and not have to share a glass of wine and maybe go like, okay, I can have something that will cause a nice effect, but will get me no hangover, will not have the effects on my liver. You know, what, you know, there's myriad effects.
And don't get us wrong here. There's already been some major moves in this space from Constellation Brands, mm-hmm, and Canopy a while ago. Probably not new news to anybody.
Pabst, Blue Ribbon launch.
I was going to mention that. It was like Pabst, huge news coming out with Pabst Labs. I'm obsessed. I may or may not have emailed the CEO today. But, you know, take a shot. Why not? I think that's super cool, though. And a THC beer, right, Javi? That was the news?
It's like a tonic or something, but it's like the seltzer, but I was surprised. I didn't know that was in the works. I usually find out about these things in advance, and I just saw that come out, and I was like,
Me neither. I'm ready for Truly's and White Claw. Yeah, I need Truly's. Truly's HC, or I don't know, some sort of play on the name there, and then White Claw. I need some seltzer action here. So if that is a tonic, even more excited about the Pabst news. That's exciting. Anyway, let's get to it. Let's chat about the beverage industry in the cannabis and CBD space with our guests, as they are the experts. No offense, Javi. I know you're an expert too.
I am not.
As Aaron brings over Ryan, pumped about him. He is from Chicago. I think he's just in Illinois. We'll let him tell us more about Tempo here. Ryan, are you with us, my friend?
I think I am.
Oh, there he's young. You said young.
Oh, I told you.
Right. I got to make a couple points on that, Elliot. We're 35. 35 is a super young entrepreneur now.
You're 35.
You watch out, man.
Oh, wait.
You're for president. And depending on how things play out, I might have to. So you got to be careful with that.
Hey, Crane 2028. Crane 2028. We're calling it now, man. I got your deputy campaign manager right here. No, pumped to have you, man. How are you? You now tell us all about Tempo. But first, I want to hear about how you got into this space.
Yeah, look, I'd love to tell you that it's a simple story, like I was a grower or there was some like divine moment of inspiration. My background is a windy road. My undergraduate background's in neuroscience. I did institutional finance for a decade, and now I run a CBD beverage brand. So, you know, common story. And so the reality is there actually is a theme to that. And that theme is my own search for a solution to the daily stress and anxiety that I dealt with every day. And yeah, I dealt with stressful jobs. And yeah, I dealt with the grind of the urban professional lifestyle. But it was a little bit more than that. When I got into my finance career, you know, like a lot of entrepreneurs, I tried to be a go-getter, try to, you know, unlock all my potential. But the stress, the anxiety became something that just became this block. And I knew it. I could feel it, that there was something that was just holding me back. So what I did at that time is said, well, I'm not going to let that stop me. I'm going to go get some help with this, and actually ended up getting prescription anti-anxiety medications to take at work. So I said, sure, I'll take it. And I did, and it solved one problem, but it created, you know, three or four new problems. I wasn't very sharp. Yeah, one thing got toned down, but I wasn't really still able to perform better.
Yeah.
So as part of that search of, you know, Googling and talking to people, some point somehow a friend recommended something to me that I didn't really know much about that was called CBD oil. I said, okay, I'll try this. And I tried it. And actually for me, it helped a lot. It helped a lot as just part of a routine. And it wasn't like the silver bullet, but hey, I'm eating better. I'm sleeping better. I'm using the right ingredients. And that kind of got me to where I needed to be. And it was a very weird moment in my life because, yes, I had experience with cannabis before, but cannabis was always this recreational thing. That's all it was. That's all I knew about it. That's what it does. That's what it's for. And then when it was reintroduced as, oh, wow, this is actually something that's therapeutic, that kind of blew my mind. And that set off this chain reaction of what's more? How can we dig into this? How does this work with the way the brain functions? And how can I play a role in building out the future of the category to some extent? So that's kind of how I got into it. Now I get to work with a lot of interesting people across the cannabis field. It's not just CBD. I work with people in THC and all, you know, all sorts of interesting people like you guys. So that's kind of my backstory of how I got involved in this space. It was a little bit of a winding road, but feels like a meaningful road.
Well, first, we all know how stressful finance is. I mean, there's nobody who doesn't have anxiety.
I'll go on a rant, but I don't know how much time you have.
For real, I've never experienced that before, you know, before Benzinga. You know, you're a financial company first, you know, and so whatever needs to be addressed, solved, improved, it's always extremely urgent. It's not like, okay, we can do it tomorrow, we can do it in a couple of hours. It has to be now, you know, it's, yeah. And it's an imperative, right? The market moves fast, mm-hmm. you know, you snooze, you lose.
Wait, Ryan, now you were mentioning you got into wellness. Did you touch on how you got into the beverage part of this?
Yeah, so I'll talk about the kind of the thematic trends here that made sense. I was doing food and beverage M&A and consumer products M&A before all of this. So okay. You can see where the wheels were turning. But I think, so take a step back. The CBD, this huge bubbling up trend, this is just a sign of the times. Like I said, for me, I think people are stressed. They're thinking about their cognitive wellness a lot more. And yeah, when you read the research, you read, okay, people gravitate towards products like CBD because they're looking for relaxation and sleep. And that sounds like a very restful thing. But when you dig into that, those are really the times of day that people just want to turn the stress dial down. So for me, it's not about like, it wasn't about like chilling out when I got into that. It was more of an active version of the same goal. It's about clearing the mental fog and that distraction so I can think more proactively, think more creatively, feel more motivated in what I'm doing. And this is where beverages fit in. Because if you're following that kind of like clean, healthy lifestyle, I want to optimize my performance.
Yeah.
I think things like chocolates taste amazing. And please send me any samples you have. I always love to have them. They don't make sense for me. It just doesn't make sense for what I'm looking for CBD. It's that the link between, hey, I want this wellness and an indulgent product like that. It just, for me personally, it doesn't work. I know that, you know, for everyone's different. So for many, it does work perfectly. But this is where I start to think about beverages, because beverages, they work not just because they're very familiar. We all get it. But they're also a great way to get a healthy, reliable, functional dose of an ingredient in a way that's really clean. People understand beverages. They know what they're getting. They trust brands. They know what to look for. You don't have to worry about smoking it. You don't have to worry about weird taste of something like that. It's not going to be sugary or unhealthy or anything like that. So it just ends up being this great delivery format, particularly when people start thinking about their health as not just healthcare. It's how you live your life. It's how you sleep. It's how you eat. It's all of that. Beverages just fit seamlessly into that day-to-day lifestyle. So a really great delivery mechanism. And of course, you know, this, I'm not shocking you guys with what I'm saying. You can see it play out in the industry. Beverages are coming up, being launched all the time. And a lot of the mainstream brand partnerships that you see in THC and CBD, I mean, you guys probably have the numbers on this, effectively all beverage.
So partnerships, that's a good segue here. Partnerships are really popular in the CBD space.
Yeah.
I'm assuming you have some in the works now.
Yeah. Look, I know you guys, Javier and Elliot, you spend a lot of time thinking about partnerships. It may surprise you, I do as well. I think when we have a market like this that's just growing so fast, it's not, I guess, it doesn't really feel territorial. We're kind of at this rising tide lifts all ships.
Exactly.
So, you know, we're not, this is not the soda wars. So partnerships are this great way to take an audience segment that you've resonated with and connect it with a similar audience that someone else connected with. And it's that kind of like 1+1=3 opportunity. Now we're actually working, we've done a few of these collaborations outside of the CBD space as well. We're working one inside the CBD space with a company called Rip and Sip. And what they do, they're really great. They've really connected to this outdoor consumer.
Rip Aspen sip. No way. Sorry. Funny story. I'm going to let you finish your thought.
No, I'm not finishing until I hear the funny story.
Okay. Funny story. So I was at MJ Biz last year. I'm sure everybody else was too. Rip and Sip got in my, they asked me to, we're all going to the same place, right? We're all going to the conventions. They're like, hey man, you want to share an Uber? I'm like, yeah. And they handed me one of their packets in the car. They're like, it's Rip and Sip. And I was like, oh, that's cool. That's very cool. Anyway, funny anecdote. I spent like 30 minutes in an Uber with them on the way to MJ Biz. So
that's a good amount of time. Yeah. they're great. I can say on a personal level, they're all great people, but they've, with their product, what they've been able to do because of the format that's in, you've seen it's these packets, they really connect with this outdoor active consumer. And our brand has really resonated with some of like the local creative set in Chicago. We've done some activations with artists and musicians.
Yeah, it's got that look. I saw it. Like the first time I saw it, I was like, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the name, like you guys see where this is all going. So it's an opportunity to take that set and link it to a similar set, like this outdoor activist that they've been able to do. So I think things like that are great. We also do a bit of advocacy collaborations because I think that's just part of our obligation as players in this industry. We do a bit of education. I did a talk this morning on infused products generally. And we're exploring collaborations, not just in like a single cannabinoid, but across the whole plant. Because as you guys know, this plant has been intertwined throughout history. And when you talk about like hemp and marijuana or cannabis, whatever you want to call it, the distinction, I know it seems like these sharp lines, that distinction is more of a legal one than a scientific one anyway. And it's really easy for us all to forget that we're really just, these are just two different names for cannabis. So it makes sense. We're trying to showcase the functionality of one attribute of the plant to work with others that are showcasing other elements of the same plant. We kind of serve the same goal. So for me, you know, that those lines between CBD world and THC world, which can seem so strict because of where you're finding these products. On the educational side, the functionality side, from my perspective, it's a little blurry. And I welcome the opportunity to work with others that are looking at other cannabinoids or other parts of the plant. Because I think that's kind of a great way for us all to collaborate together.
Yeah, I just have a quick follow-up question. Javi, I know I'm talking a lot, but Ryan, as the beverage market evolves, where do you see Tempo going? Wait, like, what is the end goal here? Obviously, outside of just overtaking Canopy and Constellation Brands as the leading beverage player in the world.
No, I mean, I think, so this is the normal maturation of a market, right? As a market matures, you start to have customer segmentation. You have premium brands emerge. You have brands emerge that target this customer set. And I think beverage here is no different. We're going to kind of like, get to the space where different brands target select customer sets. And it's not just like drink product X, it's for everyone.
Yeah, beer. No, I whenever I'm in the States, right? Like they have much more beer than in most other countries. When you go to a random store, say New York, right? You go to any bodega, there's probably 200 different beer cans. I personally gravitate toward cans that look like Tempos for beer.
Yeah, right? Definitely.
Whatever. Like an artisanal cool beer. But most people, like a bunch of people just go for Budweiser or whatever. And I would personally would never go for that, right? And as you say, it's definitely that kind of thing. We cannot expect to see just one brand dominate the market. And also if in terms of effects, right? Tempo is, to me, like the way I've experienced that, more of a, say, daytime active drink, right? Right after you and your next guest is Saka, they only make THC wines, right? So that is not something you have during the day. It's the opposite. It's something you only have probably in you know, during recreational moments, right?
Yeah.
So in completely different segments.
Exactly. So when you think of like the customer, like the Venn diagram, these are not just all concentric circles. So when I hear about other brands, things like that, I know that the traditional mindset is, oh no, well, how are we going to deal with this? I kind of think, oh, awesome. Someone else that's going to be sharing this story, the what you can do with this, what it doesn't do, because we really have to clarify that for the customer. That's a big problem in education. Brands that look to be more transparent, that want to share the story, that want to bring it into new customer sets. These are not competitors. These are collaborators. So I always think it's super cool because there's an opportunity to link all this together. And when you talk, there are of course large brands in the room that don't have the luxury of, like, you know, selling to only 30 states, you know, with the structure they have to sell into 50. And I understand the consolidation that can happen there, but it's the same thing where different missions can get plugged into different brands. And there's a way to make it work collaboratively. So, I mean, I kind of see that as opportunity, different paths being built that we can all connect on. At some point, of course, it does become saturated. And at some point, those shelves do become a lot more competitive.
Yeah,
we're just not at that phase right now.
Well, and I will say, I've tried your product personally. And you mentioned the word clean earlier. And that's a very, very good descriptor, I think. I really enjoyed it. You know, and that, honestly, like, I've sampled quite a few. So I very much enjoyed Tempo. And honestly, I think you guys have a bright future.
What's Ryan, the must try flavor for you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Because they're tough picks. It's not like, you know, just orange, you know, and you go like, okay, I like orange. No, like, no, you mix it up. So it's like, you know, as a first time consumer, I would look at the cans and go like, okay, which one should I go for?
We use a lot of exotic ingredients like matcha, ginger, turmeric. We use sparkling teas, and we've actually done it in a way. For us, the ingredients like that we use, they're not, yes, they're there for flavor, but they're there for function too. We didn't want to be this product that's just like, here you go, it's a delivery mechanism for CBD. Mm-hmm. We wanted to say, okay, well, there's a reason why it has CBD in it, and there should be a reason why it has the other ingredients in it too. So for our matcha and our green tea, for example, they're caffeinated because of the tea. But we thought, okay, well, what are people looking for a caffeinated beverage like this? And what we wanted to do is not be like an energy drink on the high end, but it is caffeinated. So what we've done, we've actually double concentrated the teas. So the caffeine profile is exactly what you get from a Diet Coke. It's 45 milligrams. So right there in line. So we're very thoughtful, not just about like the quantity of CBD, but we want all of these ingredients to be working together. And that lets us get a little bit creative with the flavor profiles that we make.
Perfect. So also, you know, Ryan, you and I had a quick conversation a while back where I was like, you know, matcha, like, you know, I see you have this other flavor coming out. I'm really excited for that one. I ended up having your matcha and it was my favorite. I loved it, man. It was so good. But can you leave us with how people can find you? They can buy your drinks right now. You know, tell us a bit about, you know, where they can find Tempo. Obviously, it's on the banner behind you, but.
Yeah, on the banner behind me right there. Rather than pointing, I'll spell it out. check us out on our website. It's tempobev.com. You can also find us on social media at tempobev. Link up with us, shoot us a note, any questions you have, things you want to learn about the product. We answer those all very, very fast. And we'd love to hear from you.
Fantastic. Ryan, you're awesome, man. It's been a pleasure chatting with you, and honestly looking forward to my next shipment of Tempo beverages.
All right.
Appreciate you, man. Thanks for your time, and you stay healthy and stay well.
Thanks for calling me super young.
Well, now I know you're right. I take it back.
Take it easy, guys.
See you, Ryan. All right, that was fun. I actually really do enjoy his product. You know, it's very clean. It's kind of got that seltzer feel. Have you tried it, Javi?
Yeah, I've tried a bunch of different products in the beverage space, and I gotta say, I am not a fan of many. I do really enjoy a few.
That was very diplomatic of you. It's much appreciated.
I really enjoy a few of them, and then I've tried many that just try too hard. Like, they're weird. Like, even when they manage to remove the plant taste and the bitter taste and the, you know, that bong water taste and whatever, they still make these weird mixes, and it's like, I don't want this. I want like a regular, I don't know, something that tastes somewhat familiar.
Perfect. Well, let's dive in a little bit deeper. Why don't you introduce our next guest, as I believe you are acquainted with Miss Mason.
Indeed. We have Tracy Mason from House of Saka. Saka has been developing cannabis-infused wines for several years. I believe the company is based out of Sonoma, right? So what they do, and it's very interesting, and this is why, to me, this is one of the best cannabis wines I've tried, if not the best. They make real wine with the actual process, then de-alcoholize it, right? So they remove the alcohol and then inject the THC. And I had the honor of trying the first ever box out of the factory before it hit the market like 2 years ago. And it was already amazing, and it only got better with time.
And it makes me thirsty, Javi.
Product. It tastes exactly like wine. And I'm from Argentina. Like, I know wine. It tastes exactly like wine, but it has no alcohol.
All right. So, well, you're going to do every introduction from me from now on, anytime I speak. But Tracy, are you with us? Can you hear us?
I can. Thank you for the kind words, Javier. It's great to see you again.
You too. Thank you for joining us.
My pleasure. Oh.
Tracy, it's a pleasure to have you. Welcome to Cannabis Hour. I'm super interested. I mean, Javi just gave us a wonderful description, but is there anything you'd like to add to that about Saka, the House of Saka, excuse me?
Oh my gosh, there's so many things I would add to that, but help you understand what it is that you're looking for me to comment on.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'd love to understand how Saka came about. You know, I'd love to... here, I know you all are in the biggest cannabis market in the world, so I know there's been quite a bit of turbulence out there for a little bit with all the wildfires and everything, but let's start with the basics and, you know, how Saka is doing right now, where you all came from. I'd love to hear your journey into cannabis as well.
Sure. I mean, Saka's doing great. As Javier indicated, we came up with the concept at the end of 2018. And started putting together what it would look like. It was really born out of my business partner's heritage. So the Saka are actually a real group of legendary female warriors that were said to rule the world and conquered all they desired. And they were sort of like the Amazonians of Persia, which is where it's the heritage of my business partner, Cynthia. So she came up with this idea to create a brand around that concept, this idea of being, warriors in a new space, and that's certainly what we've done over the course of the last couple of years. It did take a while for the industry to catch up with our concept. In other words, we could make a beautiful wine-infused beverage, which is what Javier initially tasted. I mean, cannabis-infused beverage, but we couldn't get it bottled compliantly because there was just no compliant facility in the state of California that was allowed to bottle cannabis-infused wines. So we had to wait sort of for the industry to catch up with us, and that happened toward the end of 2019. And that's when we released our first official vintage of Saka Pink, which is a alcohol-removed rosé of Pinot Noir from Napa Valley that's then infused with a proprietary blend of THC and CBD. My background, I come from about 30 years in the wine and spirits industry, largely in marketing and innovation roles. So Cynthia, my business partner, has a very, very prolific background in cannabis. So between the two of us, I think we're sort of the perfect yin and yang to bring this project together. And it hasn't been easy at all. And I think there's the reason that there's so few players in this particular segment of the beverage space is because it's very difficult to do, and it's really difficult to do well. I mean, making an alcohol removed wine that tastes good is hard enough, but then when you're infusing that with cannabis, that raises that bar of difficulty even that much higher. But I think because of the experience that we have behind us, I've been developing beverages in the alcohol space for years now, that we were able to really circumvent, I think, a lot of the issues that other companies might have had and just go right for. We knew what our sweet spot was going to be from a taste point of view and just worked backwards from there.
Yeah. Do you have a bottle you can show us? I think there's, do you have like the warrior? Is it embedded in the logo, or am I imagining that? There's some kind of image like hidden on the logo, but I don't know if it's the warrior or something else.
So this is our just beautiful woman. So this is, would be sort of a,
closer. Can see it.
It's hard to see in this light. I think it's a little too bright.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go. So what we were really trying to capture with the packaging was this notion of sort of the divine feminine, because that's really the root of what the Saka represented, this sort of power of females and what they bring to the table. And I think that the package, and you know, this package has resonated so incredibly well with both men and women, because it's just frankly beautiful. You know, it's sort of like art on a bottle, quite literally. And so when we started to come up with the concept, we knew we really wanted to focus on the luxury side of the industry. I mean, there's so many seltzers, right? There's so many beer-like products on the market, but there's really no luxury targeted product. And for us, creating a sustainable brand meant that to play with a really, really unique proposition. And I think that's how we've been able to stand out in this competitive environment that is California, is by creating something that's truly, truly unique. There's literally nothing on the market like that. And you can't say that about, and I'm not trashing any other form of cannabis consumption at all. It's just that you honestly can't say that about any other products on the market. I mean, you know, you're gonna have your Sour Diesel vape in 20 different brands. You're gonna have your, you know, cookies flour, Girl Scout cookies flour in 20 different brands. You're gonna have seltzer under different labels all over the place, or juices, or you know, concentrates, you know, the shot type of products. But really, Saka's the only one that's carrying this kind of luxury positioning in the cannabis space. And I think that's what's made it so attractive to the event space, because it gives them a really safe and comfortable and also very consistent way of consuming or entering the cannabis space.
Yeah. You know, I'm sure with your background of marketing innovation, nothing can come as a huge surprise, but you know, it's a common theme I've heard with a few beverage makers in this industry is, you know, it seems that some of the branding and marketing is dedicated toward maybe your mid-40s female, but then the men start to buy into it as well. Is that something that's expected, you know, and you don't even really have to necessarily plan too much? Or I'm just curious how that comes about. You know, is that a surprise, or is it kind of planned out that way?
Yeah, right. Yeah. I would wonder too.
That's an excellent question. And the truth is, I was surprised, because we really did develop the brand as a product targeting the emerging female consumer as the largest cannabis consumer, or fastest growing rather, cannabis consumer in the world. But I just think, you know, luxury quality speaks for itself. And what we learned was that when men tasted the product, they loved it. And so they were buying it for their wives, or they were buying it for themselves. And that really did surprise me. I mean, I was watching this random podcast of someone who was talking about the industry and I wasn't on it. But at the very end of it, he said, you know what, there's this brand out there that I think is so stunning. And he's like, House of Saka. And here's this guy, and he looks like a guy, you know, and he's just like, this is a stunning brand. And I think if we continue to follow the path that we've had, creating this unique proposition, and really, I think, measuring up to the standards that we've set for ourselves in terms of taste, quality, and consistency, that we'll continue to do really well, like we have.
Yeah.
So is it 100% when you take alcohol out of wine? Is that 100% process? I'm actually just asking for my own knowledge. I actually don't know.
You can, I mean, what's considered legally non-alcoholic is 0.05% alcohol. You can take it all the way down to zero. We usually land somewhere between 0 and 0.4%. So it's considered non-alcoholic. It is non-alcoholic. And what that process does, though, is it strips out a lot of the aroma and flavor compounds that you're used to, you know, picking up in wine. And so why we use Napa Valley wine, even though it obviously drives up our cost of goods quite considerably, is that when you start with a really good base wine with really beautiful aromas and textures and flavors, when you remove the alcohol, you can retain some of those flavors and not have to work so hard to make it taste, you know, wine-like. I'm not going to say that it tastes exactly like a wine, because at the end of the day, it's a cannabis-infused beverage that has wine as its base. But it tastes delicious, and it's refreshing, and it brings, you know, I think it effectively brings cannabis consumption into occasions and need states that it hadn't been playing, because it's super social. You know, we call it the unwind, right? So it's not wine, it's the unwind. So just relax and unwind. And I think that, so, I mean, so the process isn't easy. And again, I think we rely on the talent of our team to create, bring it back in years and years and years of beverage experience to back it up.
Yeah. It's crazy though, what Patrick was saying, that it resonates with males. I am an avid consumer of rosé and white wine because I don't give a hell. But, you know, whenever I go to a dive bar in the States or whatever and order a glass of wine, you know, the bartender looks at me like, what? Like, what kind of guy are you? But what happens here is, like, because the product itself is so unique, it has this appeal. Like, it's like, whatever, you know, people are willing to look past it. And I think it's part of the re-education that comes with cannabis, you know, all of these assigned gender roles. Like, only, you know, soccer moms can enjoy rosé, right? And no one else can. If it's delicious, why not? But I wonder, are you now considering expanding into more male-oriented products? Like, are you considering, say, a Cabernet Sauvignon or a Cabernet Franc or whatever, like Malbec, something like more manly?
We have been actively in R&D for two new products. One would be a red wine-based infused beverage that would pair with our white, pink, and so it would be white, pink, and red. The other is a single serve that would be more for, you know, that those beach party occasions where people are just consuming, you know, it's more of a fast moving product. But, you know, when I think about the appeal to men, and it's interesting when you think about, you know, Hermès or Oscar de la Renta or Chanel, I mean, those are brands that, you know, if you allow yourself to sit on them, were really started by trying to appeal to a luxury female consumer. And they drifted over right into male couture for men as well. And I think what we're setting up with Sock is that sort of halo under which we can put many different types of products. But our focus for now is to really stay the course and continue to build the momentum that we have with white, pink, and introduce these two new flavors.
Wait, and I have to follow up with one more. You mentioned the single serves, and coming from a traditional wine background, what do you think of like canned wines? To me, like, that's one of the weirdest things to accept. It's like wine in a can. It's like, ouch.
Well, my colleagues in the wine industry are probably going to hate me for saying this, but I cannot deal with canned wine. And the reason is because, you know, I have a fairly evolved palate and I like a fair bit of acidity in my wine. That's it, to finish it, whether it's red or white. And when you're canning wine, you have to really take your acidity down because it would be
squeezed. What's the serve like then? That's my, I thought it would be a can.
No, I was putting, no.
Oh, it's not? So no. What is it? Like a mini.
So we're going to be doing, I mean, a lot of this is still like IP, but it's not going to be in a can. Let me just say that.
I like that. So we have a couple more minutes here and I want to make sure we get to some news. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but Sokka is actively fundraising. Would you like to touch on that a little bit for us?
We are. I mean, we came out of the gate, Cynthia and I started bootstrapping the company, and then we brought on some seed investment money at the somewhere, you know, in mid-2018. And then with the advent of COVID, you know, the intention was we're going to do our next big raise, but we decided to do an extended seed. And so we've sort of been surviving on that. But now we're in a place where we really need to turn up the volume, if you will, and turning up the volume would require a little bit more funding. So we're in the middle of our Series A raise. We already.
Oh no, did we lose her? Is it just me? Javi, can you hear her?
No, I can't hear her either, but she'll be back.
Okay, yeah.
I can see you guys.
It's a suspense.
Oh, there we are. I hear you, Tracy.
Investors, it's a trick.
That's weird, I can see you guys and hear you.
So we left off real quick at you were raising your Series A.
Right. And so, you know, as I started to say, we are looking to raise $2 million on a $10 million pre-money valuation. We already have our lead investor secured. So we're just looking for some follow-on investment to round that out. And that's really just going to be fueling our growth. I mean, we really need to scale. We've been very cautious and careful with our cash flow. We used our seed investment money very, very judiciously. But now it's time to really turn up the volume and scale. And so now that we're in, I think we're in 25 different dispensaries now, and we're the number one selling brand, fastest growing brand, the number one selling beverage on some key delivery platforms like Gondrunner, Buddy, and Driven, which is really, I think, where our customer shopping is those channels, is delivery, primarily because that's their comfort zone of where they're typically mm-hmm. shopping.
Great. So where can our audience find you, whether they're investors and they're interested, or maybe they just want to try a wonderful bottle of wine?
Well, they can certainly order, if they're in the state of California, they can find us in some of the top dispensaries around. You can see which ones on our website, but also you can order directly to your door, delivery within 24 hours from our website directly as well, which is super convenient. For anyone interested in learning more about our raise, they can reach me at Tracy, T-R-A-C-E-Y, at houseofsaka.com. And obviously you can order from houseofsaka.com as well.
Perfect. Tracy, thank you so much for being here. Super informative, and I'm very thirsty now. but I really appreciate your time, and I look forward to continuing the conversation down the road. But you stay
thank
healthy
you
and stay well.
Thank you, guys. Great to see you. Cheers.
Have a good one. Wonderful, man. Great show so far. This is exciting. I mean, we're really seeing the young companies that are going to be building this industry, you know?
For once, we're not talking finance. We're not talking business. It's like
too
maybe,
stressful.
You know,
too stressful.
Things we enjoy, you know, and we also enjoy and love finance. Don't get me wrong, but things we just enjoy and nothing else but that. It's like, okay, this is a change of pace. So talking about change of pace.
Oh, Lord. And I say this affectionately.
Is it a change of pace in any possible scenario? No matter what you're doing, when Warren comes in.
You're taking the words right out of my mouth. Warren is always a change of pace, and in the best possible way. Let's get him over here. But I mean, if you don't know Warren, you're about to, for one. And he's just a wonderful, delightful human being. Yeah. Where is he? Warren, are you here?
Come on. We have just
get a screecher. Yeah, I mean,
no Warren.
Yeah, we have a. There he is. What's
you're
up, man?
Mute, though.
Wait. There it is. Okay, I apologize.
No worries. What do you got there?
Here I am. This is a a little stonedware pipe. This is a business show. I shouldn't be smoking cannabis on a business show.
This is the least business of any business show we do. However, the same audience. So I hope they appreciate it.
you need to know your stuff. You make
I didn't
beverages,
get
you make products. If you don't know them, what are you doing? We, like as finance people, don't necessarily need to understand the difference between different strains. That's not where a business is.
Right.
Definitely where yours is. So
yes. But I
appreciate your deep and personal investment into your activity.
Thank you.
Warren, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say I didn't get to do this without one person. And I was going to say that one person is my mentor, Chris James. I could not have achieved any of this without him taking a risk on me and making me his barback, which is the hardest job in the world. Harder than working in a bank, harder than washing dishes, harder than cleaning bathrooms. Working as a barback is the hardest job I've ever had.
100% echo that. I was a restaurant manager for years and too many years. Any minute I spent was a minute too many. However, rewarding with the people you meet, you know, and the things you can learn in the restaurant industry, but it's a hard job. It's incredibly difficult.
Hard job at 50 years old is when I started it. And at 59 now, I've just begun to achieve what I wanted to achieve, but couldn't prior because I didn't have the chops.
Hey, you got them now, my friend. Tell us about you. Let's go ahead and jump into you. Who are you? Where have you been in this industry?
I started at the very bottom. I was afforded the honor of writing for Forbes in their vices section for the past 3 years. I would have never met you, Elliot, and I would have never met you, Javier, if I wasn't given that opportunity to become something that I wasn't prior. I had been writing about food. I'd been writing in the liquor space. I'd been smoking weed since I was 12 years old, but I'd never written about it. And going forward, something really magical is happening. And we'll let that discover
itself. Why don't you tell us a little bit about the libations? I believe is the verbiage we'll use here, but what are you working
on? I mean, it's the book. I have it too. Show it, Warren. It's right.
There it is. There it is. Taking away my smile. Adam, there you go, Javier. Cannabis cocktails, mocktails, and tonics. I teach you to use THC in a non-confrontational manner. And what I mean by that is me smoking this makes a scent in the air that not everyone appreciates. And with COVID, we're inside more. And I know there are people around me who may not necessarily like the smell, but I'm looking for that effect that I'm looking for. I'm not looking for a CBD effect. I'm looking for a THC effect. So I want a drink that's sophisticated, and I want something that challenges me, and I want something that's not seltzer, and I want something that's not sweet, and I want to change the world because, you know, becoming a master mixologist, I had to do something with my life. I mean, I didn't want to be poor for the rest of my life. And I wanted to do something that I was passionate about. So with that said, I've created a beverage, and we hope to be to market the fourth quarter of this year.
Do tell a story. What's it called? Can we get the detail?
It's called Klaus, and it's named after my 1850s German drinking gnome who has followed me around the world for the past 10 years. When I taught at the Moscow Bar Show in Russia, I brought him with me. He's been to Paris. He's been to Rome. He's been to all sorts of interesting places. California.
Wait, this is a gnome?
This is an actual gnome. Like, as John Oliver would say, and this is true.
He is a gnome.
Okay. I was like, you can't talk about a gnome and not show him to us.
Okay. I can show him to you. Here he is.
Oh, he's perfect.
He is perfect. He's the real thing. He's a Griebel gnome, and he's from the 1850s, 1860s. Wow. And when I contacted the factory, they said they hadn't made his type since that point. So he's the real thing. And he has a personality. Man. He's my wingman. Come on, I travel alone. I have to have someone next to me on the counter to start conversations.
You travel alone, you're never alone. We saw you at the last Benzinga Cannabis Capital Conference in person in Miami this year, and you were always surrounded by at least 10 people.
Well, that's because he had a Canagar.
That was a Shaolin Canagar. That was a very important Canagar from my friend Chris Louie in Denver, Colorado. Very, very important Canagar.
So you're developing a beverage, like one specific beverage. Well,
there's going to be three SKUs, but we're coming out with, Elliot, we're coming out with one in the coming weeks. And it's based on the principle that I want to ruin you for your bartender. I'm not looking, you know, as a master mixologist, as a member of the USBG, the Bartending Guild, my peers would kill me if I came out with water. They would say, what have you learned? Have you learned anything? And I'd say, oh, I want to make a lot of money selling water. I don't want to do that.
A lot of people poo-poo seltzers. I got a whole case of Truly's in the fridge, but I also have a bottle of really nice bourbon next to the fridge. So there's a time and place here.
Refrigerating it. I mean, look at this. I wrote apothecary cocktails, whiskey cocktails, bitters and shrub syrup cocktails, the craft cocktail compendium. If I made water, they would take my books and rip them up. That's what I love to do. It's my passion. Flavor.
We need Warren for our next relax and unwind. So we do this internal thing at Benzinga, you know, for the team on Fridays. It used to be in Detroit in person. Now we do it virtually. And a few weeks ago, Elliot and his brother Patrick taught us how to make an awesome whiskey drink.
Right.
Two awesome whiskey drinks. We each taught one. You'll know him by heart.
I drank the first one and then forgot about the second one. I'm sorry.
Well, that doesn't bode well for me. So, yeah, thank you.
I'm relying upon my friends and confidants within the liquor industry to help me go forward in life. and the ingredients that I'm using, like Pickett's ginger beer syrup, the spicy ginger beer, is available all over the United States, usually in bars. So if you're a bartender, if you have one of these things on your arm, you know what it means to use good ingredients and make drinks that are simply prepared with love.
Can you clarify something for me, Warren? Is this something you're coming out with a recipe, or are you going to market with a drink?
I'm going to market with a beverage, with an actual beverage, and it's shelf stable, using the nanotechnology that's out there. I can't name too many names because they'll kill me because I'm probably going to say something wrong. But really, it's my recipe, and it's going to be a canned beverage, 8.4 fluid ounces. It's nanotechnology THC, so it's the finest kind. It has about a 3 to 5, maybe 7 minute onset, depending on who you are and your body chemistry and all that stuff. It's, as I said, it's not another insipid seltzer or candy flavored quaff. This is a true craft mocktail, and there's three different ones, and it's just fun. I'm having a great time creating it, and it's my passion, and it's flavors that we're familiar with, and I'm not retraining your palate, but I'm teaching you to taste in a different way. And that different way comes from my soul, from my passion, wanting to be here, being the luckiest guy in the world. I mean, I was a banker for 20 years. What was that about?
Finance again. Finance strikes again. We cannot escape it.
People trusted me with their money.
What were they thinking? So Warren, the nanotechnology.
He makes drinks for people and then get them to trust him with their money.
That's really the best
thing to do. And I graduated to private banking, and that was real money. I mean, we can't talk about that at all, but all I can tell you is that if they could see me now.
So when do your next two drinks come out?
The first one, we hope at least by mid to end of November. The following coming up first quarter.
So as this, as these ideas evolve, our is the logo of your company going to be Klaus? And yes. If not, why will it be you?
It is. It really is. John Mamas is our brilliant artist. I had sent a picture of the can, of the can in the slim can. We're not going to be using the slim can. We unfortunately can only use the squat can, but that's okay. It's going to look beautiful. The label's gorgeous. Klaus is on the can. He fits into the perspective of the company. The company's named after him. He has a piece of it. He has points.
So where are we going to be able to find these? You said it's California, THC, right?
In California, yeah. In select locations. We were talking about the wealthier areas of Los Angeles. I would like to go in the not so wealthy areas. I think it would be a much, much cooler thing to do that. And then San Francisco, and who knows, San Diego, maybe. I don't know. I've never been there.
I hear it's beautiful. Yeah, I hear San Diego's gorgeous, but that's fantastic. Now, but you're a New Jersey resident, right?
I am. I live in Morristown, New Jersey, and before COVID, I was in California 3 times a month.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I'm curious, what does the first iteration taste like? Like, what's, coming from you, you're at Gourmet, you're at Koenigsegg, you're everything.
It's spicy, and it's tangy, and it makes you thirsty. It makes you come back for more because it's got a touch of magic in it.
Is it reminiscent of any existing mixed drink I can think of?
The bourbon mule, as opposed to the vodka mule, but more of a darker mule, more of a aromatics.
All right, so give us some pairings. If I'm going to have this drink with a beautiful dinner.
Oh, you're going to have this drink with the perfect roast chicken with a crispy skin. That garlic butter was placed under the skin, and fresh herbs from my garden, rosemary, thyme, lavender, placed around the bird and cooked until it's just oozing its clear liquids.
Oh, I was thirsty. Now I'm hungry and thirsty.
That was a Homer Simpson kind of scene,
my business card, it says I make you hungry and thirsty. I think I've accomplished something since I was you know, turned out from banking.
So what one of your funny and controversial opinions, why you dislike most other cannabis beverages?
It's not that I don't like them. I want them to do better. I want to raise the bar. I want to create a consciousness of flavor. I've always tried to say nice things about my peers. I never wanted to cut them down. Like when I used to write for New Jersey Monthly and I would walk in a restaurant, they probably had my picture on the wall because I'm not an easy person to get a review out of. And when I do, I want people to do better. I want to raise that bar. And that's mm-hmm. the difficulty that I have with the beverage industry, because the drinks are not being made by mixologists. They're being created by marketers who don't understand the idea of balance and flavor, of tangy to sweet to bitter. There's a balance in life, like the way you make cocktails, of bitter to sweet. It's like life itself, but not everything is good and not everything is bad. It creates a balance. And in a perfectly made craft cocktail, there has to be a balance as well. Now, there's no alcohol in this, but there is that nanotechnology THC.
Yeah, it sounds like you're echoing what our first guest said, Ryan, about how it's not just measuring the THC and or CBD in your beverage. It's how everything balances with that ingredient and how it brings.
And I was listening to him, and I think I learned a lot from him, because he's probably a year ahead of where I am now, maybe more. But yet he speaks with a certain humility, because he's accomplished something great that I'm like, oh man, I wish I was him. But I will.
Maybe there's a partnership in here. I mean, we were talking about how we need to lift you. He's like, maybe not yet.
I'd have to talk to Klaus about it. I'm not quite sure.
Klaus is the final decision. I definitely understand that. So three drinks, Klaus three drinks. As a beverage, Klaus as a company.
Yeah, I'm doing a zombie, actually. You know, we always talk, my favorite drink is the 1934 zombie, which is a classic cocktail. It brings you back to the days before.
I have no idea what that is.
A zombie cocktail. There's just a lot going on in there, but I'm mimicking a lot with a little. So it's going to be very refreshing, like a tiki bar cocktail, but THC infused tiki bar cocktail.
Now, are we talking about the floating tiki bars?
Like the tiki bars in Vegas.
That's a different feel.
Tiki bars. I gotta be honest.
I always wanted to do a tiki bar in Vegas that had live resin THC in the drinks. So I have to come out with it myself, and I have. But the other one is a little. I'm paying homage to Turkey, with fresh carrot juice and rose water and orange bitters. And the orange bitters pay homage to a man who's no longer with us, Joe Fee. Of Fee Brothers Bitters in Rochester. So I'm bringing his memory back by using his bitters in my drinks.
I have one more question, before we kind of wrap up here. So it seems to me that in the cannabis industry, correct me if I'm wrong, maybe it's to stick out, maybe it's just to separate this industry from the alcohol industry, but it seems there's a lot of unique flavors being used, a lot of interesting, maybe different ingredients.
I hope so, because I think that part of the fun of a memorable drink is to make a flavor that you remember, and you'll remember mine the first time you've had it, and you'll always come back to it in a conversation, even if that conversation takes place 20 years in the future. They'll always remember the first time they tasted a really beautiful cannabis beverage.
Man, I'm about to fly to California and have a Klaus. I don't know about y'all. That sounds great. Warren, anything you want to leave us with? You are a man not of few words, but of great words. Where can we find you? And any last thoughts for our audience?
Cocktailwhisperer.com is where you see most of my stuff. Everything that I've ever written is there, even when I wrote about liquor. You'll find me around the corner in California before long. I'm going out November 2nd to do the formulation and get this product to market. And then we can talk about scalability and all the things that I don't know about. So
fantastic. Well, we wish you the best there, my friend. Please keep us updated. I would love to do an update with you one day, maybe in a few months, to see how things have panned out. And what you've learned, because obviously this is a journey we want to take with you. But thank you for being here, my man.
Thank you. Cheers.
Thank you. Next time we'll shoot in person. We'll have to meet him in California. Just set up something in a nice like beachside bar and actually, you know, do some
talking about shooting in person. I don't even know what that means anymore. Awesome. Well,
thank you again. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Warren. Be well, man. Javi, this was a fun one. It got away, I think, from, you know, investment focus, which if you're here for investment, don't worry. We'll be back with plenty more opportunities. And I mean, Sokka and Klaus and Tempo, they're all growing businesses. They're all ones to keep your eye on. Different stages of life, all three of them. But, you know, in my opinion, three great ones, because Warren has a ton of knowledge, even if he's.
I think it was a great, perfect balance. We had a CBD daytime kind of drink active. We had a wine and we had a mixed drink. It's like the three kinds of drinks, basically. Yeah.
It was a lot of fun. And for everybody who stuck around and listened to these wonderful guests, thank you all. Thank you to our pre-market prep and Cannabis Hour audiences. I do want to shout out the fact that we are having our Cannabis Capital Conference next week. You can't hear me? Can you hear me now? Well, I'm going to keep talking until Javier cuts me off. Cannabis Capital Conference next week, three tracks. It's going to be a lot of fun. Javi is, you know what? Everybody have a great day. This is the perfect time to have an internet malfunction. all right, guys.
Silence. I can see you moving. Can you hear me now?
Oh, there we go. Yes, we can hear you. One of our internets just cut out. Anyway, I was just saying Cannabis Capital Conference next week, Charlotte's Web, Curaleaf, Trueleaf, Canopy. I mean, just an incredible lineup. Please sign up for that. It's going to be absolutely incredible. No Cannabis Hour next week due to that event. We will all be super busy, but very excited. Javier, you're moderating a few things, right?
Indeed. I mean, October 15th, just check us out. It's one of the best lineups we've had. We have celebrity guests of all kinds. Check out busycannabis.com. It makes no sense that we go through it all. We had three tracks, not one, not two, three at the same time. A lot going on. So just like check it out. We have free passes. We have VIP passes that allow you to network. And we will be also back with Cannabis Hour the following week, October 22nd, with Cannabis Business. So again, to our usual beat. But
like and subscribe. Like and subscribe. We are on Spotify. We're on bzcannabishour.com and other platforms. But Javier, it's been a pleasure, my friend. Everybody, have a wonderful rest of your day.
Home. They say it's where the heart is. They also say it's wherever you make it. They don't say. It's where you unload your stuff, get tired halfway through unpacking, use some boxes as furniture, realize your oven mitt's in a box that doubles as a nightstand, don't want to buy a new nightstand, and use a towel as an oven mitt instead. But no matter where you call home, Geico makes it easy to bundle and save on renters and car insurance. Easier than grabbing a piping hot pan with a towel that's a bit too thin and trying to quickly get it to the counter. Ooh, hot, 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 hot.
Introducing Under Armour's Infinity High Sports Bra. Its ergonomic design is molded to support the natural movement of your body. With cord out padding, the better breathability eliminates extra bulk without sacrificing support. And quick dry padding is Under Armour's fastest drying padding yet. When you're lifting heavy, running fast, and pushing yourself further than ever before, you need a bra that will help you go that extra mile and make you feel your best. Shop the Infinity High Sports Bra now at UA.com.